What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, coming up, we have a new NFL coach. Maybe. Well, most likely. Do you know who it is?
I do not know who it is.
What? But first,
audio. We think
sports audio, football audio. I've got perhaps the worst sports argument of 2025 for you.
Okay.
And then we've got Eagles bro mic'd up at the NFC Championship game. We want to play a little bit of that for
you. It's fantastic. It's some of the best trash talk you'll ever hear.
But first, it's Cam Newton.
You all right?
What?
What? You just...
Cam Newton.
Came to a weird abrupt stop there. I was like, huh?
It's Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Did it again.
What?
He is on some stupid show wearing some stupid hat and glasses.
Yeah, so with Stephen A, I think.
That's what he does.
Yeah, I don't know. Stephen A's on like, isn't Stephen A on like a million shows?
He's on a lot of shows, yes.
Whatever. Who cares what the show is? It's these two guys talking, and Cam Newton, I believe, I don't know if this is in the question.
It starts with Stephen A's question.
Okay. Yeah, so take a listen to Cam Newton's answer. This question and answer with Stephen A. Smith. And perhaps the worst sports argument of 2025?
Okay. We've got a former league MVP right here on the set right now in Cam. I ask you, Cam, if you could give back that league MVP for a Super Bowl championship.
Nope.
Oh.
Really?
Really?
Why?
Because you have to ask it through this lens. That was a very journalistic viewpoint or vantage point or response, Stephen A. Ask you this question, and, you know, just to pose this thought. What's more important, impact or championships? You look at a guy like Allen Iverson, or you stood up on the table and blah, 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 blah. Everybody's not going to be Michael Jordan. Everybody's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's not going to be these individuals who have the luxury of saying, hey, I not only dominated this sport, but I also have championships to back it. Like, let me remind you, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Respectfully, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. So, yes, when you look at those guys and you say, okay, what's more important? Would you have preferred to win a Super Bowl? I think that that's the humble approach. But if we're being honest, the impact of you holding yourself accountable to say everybody has a responsibility to do. And you can say as an MVP award winner or an All-American, you've held yourself or you've held your end of the bargain down. And that's what it really comes down to for me. I know that's not the popular pick. I'm not trying to be popularized. But My take is I'm taking individual success because I did my job. Football is not about one guy trying to do 11 jobs. Mm-hmm. It's 11 guys doing one job. And if everybody does their job best, famous words of our coach Belichick, just do your job.
I'll do it.
Well,
what?
At least he's honest.
I guess.
He's honest.
What do you think of that?
Well, all right. First off,
you think a lot of guys think that way?
Okay. Two things. All right. I need to break this down because I'm trying to be fair because I think Cam Newton gets a bad rap. Cam Newton was really good, and I don't think we appreciate Cam Newton for how good he was. Cam Newton was really, really stinking good, and he was an MVP.
He was no Nick Foles.
He was no Nick Foles. And so this is where I think the argument gets a little it's a little disingenuous because he brought up Brad Johnson, he brought up Nick Foles. Now, to say, would you rather have Cam Newton's career or Brad Johnson's career? I think most people would take Cam Newton's career, even though Brad Johnson has a Super Bowl and Cam Newton does not. This is the Charles Barkley thing. People ask Charles Barkley, would you trade careers with Robert Horry? And Charles Barkley's like, no. Robert Horry was a decent sixth man, was a journeyman. I was one of the 50 greatest players of all time. Yes, he won titles. I would not trade my career. I don't think that's an ignorant take. Okay, so when you bring up Brad Johnson and you bring up Trent Dilfer, that's completely different because you're taking, again, journeyman may be a strong word. You're taking very, very average quarterbacks that happen to win Super Bowls, okay? But to say that you would, I'm trying to think like Joe Flacco. Now I think that's a little bit different because Joe Flacco had a really nice career, right? Dan Marino wouldn't trade careers with Brad Johnson simply for a Super Bowl, but would he trade careers with Steve Young, who only has one Super Bowl, right? Like, all of a sudden, you're like, well, maybe I'll take Steve Young. Steve Young isn't as good as Dan Marino, doesn't have a good numbers, but Steve Young won a Super Bowl. So I think that argument gets a little skewed there with Cam. I do think it's interesting, though, that Cam brought up, and this is where I'll kind of go at Cam, he brought up 11 guys being accountable. Cam Newton in the Super Bowl went 18-41 with a pick. In the biggest game, and that was your MVP season, that was your best season when you carried your team to the Super Bowl, you played one of your worst games you've ever played. So, you know, that's
Von Miller ate his lunch, right?
Yeah, that's a little wonky. You know, you can't go 18-41 and throw a pick with no tutties in the biggest game and say that I was held accountable all year. Well, you also played like crap. It wasn't your own fault. I mean, your O-line let you down, but you lost 24-10 and you played the worst. So, look, I think we can all agree that Cam Newton is a bit of a jackass. I think Cam Newton probably isn't for everyone. I think Cam Newton sometimes has horrific takes, and this is where you get in trouble. I feel this way about like Michael Irvin. Just because you're a Hall of Fame player doesn't mean that you make any sort of real sense or that you, I think, are a good analyst when it comes to football. But
Is Cam Newton an analyst now?
I think he's more of a hot take guy.
I see him around.
You see him around.
He's definitely making the rounds analyst now, or at least doing something to supplement the old income.
But at least I'll give Cam this. Yes, I think there's more athletes that side on that side than we realize. It's just that most would always say the easy thing, which is, of course, I would trade my MVP for a Super Bowl. And again, for someone like Allen Iverson, who only won one MVP, Allen Iverson would certainly trade his MVP for an NBA championship because Allen Iverson is one of the greatest players of all time. And he still would be one of the greatest players of all time, even if he never won an MVP.
But Nick Foles is trading a title for an MVP.
Yeah.
Because that means
yes.
He's just a way better player and yes. Made way
yes.
More money.
Yes. Yes.
So he's trading that thing.
It's a disingenuous argument because
he's using bad examples.
He's taking apples to oranges and he needs to be doing apples to apples.
Yeah. So who are the apples to apples then?
Again, I would say that the one, like,
would you think Lamar trades his MVPs for a title right now?
All three of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he does too.
He does too. Yeah. Because again, even if Lamar didn't have three MVPs, and by the way, three MVPs puts him in really rarefied air. And he hasn't won the third one yet, but he's going to. He's basically a slam dunk. Again, that goes, yeah, Lamar would. I have no doubt in my mind that if, because Lamar would be like, yes, I don't need an MVP. You don't need an MVP to solidify yourself as one of the great quarterbacks of all time. I do think you do need a Super Bowl ring.
So
otherwise,
argument,
you end up being Dan Fouts or Dan Marino.
Well, yeah, so the argument is the worse the player, the more they'll take the MVP.
Yes.
The better the player.
Yes.
The more they don't care and they want the title.
Yes. So it's just Cam being...
But he's a better player,
yeah,
who's saying he'd rather have the MVP.
And the problem with Cam is, and I think this is where that mentality comes from, I don't think Cam gets viewed as a great player. I think Cam gets viewed as a really, really good player. He was never a great throw of the football. The advanced analytics were never that good. It ended very poorly for him when his shoulder became crab meat, and it ended with a whimper. Remember, no one wanted him as a backup, and I'll bet you that Cam Newton is behind closed doors. I'll bet you Cam Newton is really bitter. I think that Cam feels like he has always been slighted. I feel like Cam is probably very angry when I listen to him about the way his 11-year career is viewed. And while the Super Bowl, this is his point, and I think it's a valid point. Nick Foles can hold up a Super Bowl trophy and say, I'm a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And I think the idea is that if Cam had a Super Bowl, I think a lot of people would still view Cam as more Nick Foles than Drew Brees. But the MVP lets him give you the middle finger and be like, F you, I was the best player in the NFL. And I think to him who feels disrespected, I do. I think that makes him feel better. And I guess, do I agree with it? No, but I see where he's coming from, and I don't think it's as...
It makes him harder to tear down or attack or whatever. It's like an extra barrier of defense for him.
Yes.
Yeah. It also says a lot about him.
Yeah, it does.
And maybe not my quarterback. Who's that? Was that Terrell Owens that said that?
My quarterback.
That's my quarterback. Well, that is not my quarterback.
I mean, even if I asked you just right now, the best dual threat, the three or four best dual threat quarterbacks.
Lamar Jackson.
And his name, like, I'm just saying, Cam is an MVP, and his name is not going to come up.
Three or four best?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah. I'm not certain his name's coming up, and I'm not even talking about quarterbacks. I'm just saying dual threat quarterbacks.
You're not talking about quarterbacks?
Well, obviously, his name doesn't come up if I give you the best quarterbacks of all
time. He's not saying all quarterbacks, but
I'm just saying the best dual threat quarterbacks of all time.
That's actually a good question. I mean, it'd be Lamar.
Mount Rushmore of dual threat quarterbacks. Who's on it?
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I think this is what pisses him off.
Steve Young.
Yes.
Yeah. Is Josh Allen on that?
Didn't see it.
It's going to be.
Herein lies the question.
Newton was better than
But Vic's got the rep. Like, right now, I think the collective sports public thinks more of Michael Vick's playing ability than Cam Newton's playing ability.
Yes. Yeah. If you bring up Michael Vick and you bring up Cam Newton, people will laugh and be like, dude, Michael Vick all day. And I think that's what, at the end of the day, really sticks in his stupid little hat with 9 playing cards in it. And some of this is his own thing because he's made himself a...
He's
kind of made himself
a
joke.
He's been pretty unlikable.
Yes.
And yet Vic was the guy who was fighting dogs and was like public enemy number one.
And yet is...
And now he's like a college coach.
Yeah. Now I got to look. Did Michael Vick ever win an MVP?
No.
Because he was real good.
I'm going to look
at the cover of Madden, though.
Tell you what I'm doing. Tell you what I'm doing, fellas, during this next break.
Best mobile quarterbacks?
No, he never won an MVP.
I'm comparing Newton to Vic.
And that'll be Cam Newton's FU to Michael Vick, and all that is, hey, I've got an MVP and Michael doesn't.
So who's on? So who do you think is on the Mount Rushmore
Well, we'll do it when we come back.
Do you have four?
I do have four.
Am I on it?
Man, that injury.
Your Pheasant Bowl performance, how far does it take you?
That knee injury.
All right. We got a new coach in the NFL, most likely, and a little bit more football audio for you. Here is Buck.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
All right, we were talking about Cam Newton, who said he would not trade his MVP for a title.
And I'm backing him. I mean, I don't agree with it, but I think there's a path to where you can see where he's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want him, but okay. I mean, you know,
it's
his opinion.
It is.
I did look at Cam Newton versus Mike Vick statistically.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Except for one thing.
MVP.
No. Well, there's another one. We'll talk about it.
Well, Newton, so just to compare.
Dogfighting.
Well, that is, yeah. That is a stark.
Yeah.
Unless Cam Newton was a dogfighter.
Not that I know of. But he did wear dumb hats and still does.
Cam Newton was 75-68 in 144 starts. Yeah. Mike Vick was 61-51 in 115 starts. So pretty similar.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, 85.2 quarterback rating for his career.
Yeah.
Mike Vick, 80.4.
Yeah.
And then touchdowns, interceptions, Newton 194-123 and Vick 133-88. And if you average those out, they both average about 2.7 interceptions per attempt.
And Vick really obviously had the weird, you know, he had a blip in his career. I just wish you could have gotten old Michael Vick when he actually learned how to play the position. Remember, he went to Philly and he said Andy Reid actually taught him how to play the position. Had that version of Michael Vick, if you could take young Michael Vick and be like, hey man, just give me a year to figure out what you're doing here, and you could have really had something special. I played with a guy who was an offensive lineman with Michael Vick at Virginia Tech, and I'm not here to drag on Vick. He just said, you've never met a more undedicated, unserious player. And their playbook was so, so simplistic. A lot of times it was basically give the ball to Michael and get out of the way. And he was that good.
So Newton threw a better touchdown percentage, but they were about the same in their interception percentage.
Yeah.
And then rushing, Vick had more yards, 6,109 to Newton's 5,628. But Newton had way more touchdowns, 75-36.
And this is where I think there needs to be an appreciation for Cam Newton. Cam Newton had 75 rushing touchdowns.
He was goal line guy.
And not only that, but Cam Newton got tough yards. Like, there are some guys, like Steve Young deserves to be on this list. Steve Young was one of, like, Steve Young, Fran Tarkenton, Randall Cunningham. These guys walk so that Lamar and Cam Newton can run. But Steve didn't run in between the tackles. Steve ran because they were scrambles. Cam Newton literally, like he was the run game for them.
Yeah, and Vic was more of a speedster, more like elusive.
Cam was just a truck. I don't think people appreciate how big and physical Cam Newton was. So Cam is on my Mount Rushmore.
But he's a tight end size guy.
Yes.
Vic averaged 7 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's stupid.
And Newton averaged 5 yards per attempt.
Again, some of that is, you know, scrambling, getting to the edge, and Cam would look, if it was 3rd and 3, Cam will get you 3 yards. This isn't just, hey, we're gonna scramble. There were design runs, and I used to always say the part I didn't love about running quarterbacks is you can't hold up over years. And Cam did, he held up for a while, and then, you know, again, you get hit in the shoulder and then he couldn't throw anymore and his career was cut short. So he was kind of his own victim and he never really developed into a really true pocket passer, which, you know, that's on him. So, okay. But if I'm doing my if I'm doing my Mount Rushmore.
And this is just dual threat quarterbacks.
Dual threat quarterbacks. To me, Lamar Jackson. I've never seen anything like him. He truly is. He's Michael Vick, but knows how to play the position. There's a reason why he's a 3-time MVP. If he ever wins a Super Bowl or two, look out. It's scary. It's scariness. To me, Cam Newton. I think he was the first dual threat guy that spent 10 years actually being a dual threat guy and truly was the best runner and thrower. I mean, he was different. No NFL quarterback has ever run for more touchdowns, 75 touchdowns. In fact, the closest behind him is Josh Allen. But you look at Lamar, Lamar only has 33 rushing TDs. Cam has 75. That's just, that is silly. And then I'm putting Steve Young in mine. And then because of the shortness of the career, I'm going to take Randall Cunningham. I wanted to put Michael Vick right there, but I'm going to go with Randall because, again, I think he was a true pioneer. And I also love, much like Vick, Cunningham learned how to be a quarterback at the end. And in Minnesota, those were the best. I mean, he was scary good. And I still can't believe that Minnesota team didn't win a Super Bowl. So Vic misses my list simply because of the missed time and just wasn't quite there. But if you gave me this a second time, I might flip Vic and Cunningham. But Lamar, Cam, Randall, Steve Young. There's my list.
What's yours?
Oh, what's mine? Or are you asking the listeners, the collective you?
Who else do you think I'm talking to?
I don't know, the listeners.
There's no one listening to us.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm taking Steve Young. I'm taking Josh Allen. I mentioned this in the break. Part of that is bias because I've won more than I should have on Josh Allen anytime touchdowns. He just gets in the end zone all the freaking time. But also, like, he's still maybe yet to reach his prime, and he's getting better still. So those two guys, plus I'll take Lamar and Cunningham.
Oh, Lamar Cunningham. Okay. So you left Newton off.
I left
of,
Newton and Vic off.
Yeah. Well, he left Vic off, too.
Yes. It was close.
Jackson, I'm wondering if Patrick Mahomes should count as a dual threat.
I was going to ask that. Is he a dual threat guy? See,
this is my difference between dual threat and...
He scrambles.
He's not a primary run option like these other guys.
There's a difference between someone that scrambles. Aaron Rodgers was a great scrambler. I thought John Elway was a great scrambler. The difference is, and this is why Steve Young to me is kind of borderline, it's the difference between getting out of the pocket, extending plays, and picking up first downs, and someone that is an actual threat. When you game plan against any of those guys, they are part of the run game. And with like Lamar and Cam, they were the main focus of their run game for many a moon. Same thing with Michael Vick. So that's why I consider Mahomes a great escapability and a first down. He's a mobile guy, but a dual threat. You're cutting hairs.
We got a new NFL coach, most likely, and our last bit of football audio next on The Fan.